Hi, thanks for popping by OasisChurchNJ.com. We're a five-year-old contemporary Christian church with three locations in Central Jersey. Go to our website at oasis-church-nj.com to check out what's going on. Hey, everybody, how are you today? Awesome. Great to have you today. I guess everybody's out the beach. Who wants to go to the beach after this? Your treat. Well, welcome. I'm so excited. We just got back from the other location. Yeah, I want to just second what Tommy said. July 24th, 11 a.m., not 11:30. And try to get there like 10:45. It would be great to get all the three locations together, all the bands together. I'm really excited about that outdoor service to Plainfield. We surround Plainfield. So that's why we want to go out and reach people for Jesus there and then have an awesome time of service. Oh, there's going to be, for any of you guys that have kids, we're going to have like these bouncy bounce thing. You like bouncy bounce?
For them.
For them? Okay. I like the bouncy bounce myself. So I'm a big kid. So we're going to go in that. So yeah, so I'm excited about that and that day right there. So if you have a smartphone, like I do, you could check out, there should be a slide there. Check out that link. You could follow our service online right there. Every week we'll have the message guide online there. If you have a Bible app, it's called Bible.com. You could actually take notes in there and make any suggestions you want. You should have the link right in there somewhere. And do you guys have that link, Tommy? The link for the Bible app? Okay. So, yeah, why don't we bow our heads in prayer? Father God, I thank you so much for today, and I pray, Lord, for your grace to just come out among us, Lord. I pray for those that are not feeling well today. I pray for those that maybe there's a physical ailment going on today. I pray for anyone that's suffering physically. Lord, I know how hard that is, and we want to lift up all those in our church family that are suffering from things like cancer, Lord. How horrible, but you are the great physician. Pray for just low hearts today, that your spirit may just fill us in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Amen. I trust God for that. I believe the Lord for that. So I'm excited. This is our last week of Viral. And if you guys remember what Viral is all about, it's a five-week series basically sharing the fact that the message, the gospel message, that Jesus Christ, God the Father, sent Jesus to earth for us. He came down in the form of a man. He lived among us. He started with just, you know, it's all about relationship. It's all about Christianity. It's all about relationship. It all starts with God the Father saying, hey, son, this world needs saving. Go down and be among them. And then he died for our sins. On the third day, he rose again. And then he gathered among him the 12 disciples, probably about 70 at that time. He says, guys, I want you to take this amazing viral message of what I did all over the world. Just take it. And somehow, this is totally one of the... If you don't believe in the miracles of the Bible, this is a miracle in itself that it's, no one can really explain. Unlearned people, just a group of them, no social media, no TV, no satellites, no Facebook, no Twitter. This thing became viral all over. Somewhere in Acts, someone said, man, this is unbelievers. These guys, these unlearned people, these people who had no knowledge of anything, not leaders or anything, there's no technology, they turned the whole world upside down. For this person called Jesus. And so Jesus, remember in all the weeks we've been talking about, he wants us to be fishers of men as well. He wants us to take this amazing message to all the people nowadays in the 21st century and take this thing viral. And that's why, you know, at Oasis we have three locations because we want to grow disciples all over the world, refreshing the world. That's what our motto says, because we believe in that message that Jesus shared. And isn't it amazing? Today we're going to talk about baptism, but isn't it amazing? It's going to be contained in something called the Great Commission. And isn't it amazing that these simple words that Jesus rang out has become true 21 centuries later, all over the world, almost every country of the world. This is why we know the end times are here. Almost every country of the world, the gospel has been permeated. The message that Jesus Christ saves has come all over. And in Matthew 28:19-20, if it's up there, if you have a Bible, you can go to that as well. Matthew 28:29, it says this. Jesus says these words. And these were like his last, one of his last words. Isn't it amazing? I don't know about you guys, but I mentioned this in last year when I talked about baptism. It's amazing last words. You meet people all the time. I remember going off to work for the first time. My dad gave me words of wisdom and how to like behave and what and not behave. You could probably think of last words in your life, maybe last words of a loved one before they died on the deathbed. It's never a trivial thing, is it, when there's last words, real last words. It's never like, hey, can you make sure you buy milk at ShopRite? I hear it's on sale this week. None of that stuff going on. It's like something from the heart, something with passion, something that they actually believe in, something that's so amazingly close to their dear to their heart that they want you to know. This is my last words that I want you to know. This is where I want you to take your life, and I want you to go in this direction. And as I said last week, my daddy, he said, hey, I want you to remember your brother and sister. Remember to carry the message to them. Remember to take the message that Jesus Christ saved to them, because I want them in heaven with me, because I know where I'm going, but I want them to follow me. And that's an amazing thing. He wants us to take this message all over. These were one of the last messages of Jesus to the disciples. You can find this, which they call this the Great Commission. You can find a variant of this in Acts 1:8, where they said, hey, Jesus said, I want you to start here in Jerusalem, and then I want you to spread over to Judea, then go to Samaria. These people aren't even like you. They don't even speak your language. It doesn't matter. I want you to go to these people that you hate, the Samaritans, and take this message. And then I want you to go all the way over the world, but I have great news. I'm going to be with you in this. I'm going to be with you till the end of the earth. There's no power that could stop what you're doing. This word, this message is viral. This message is unstoppable. I am Lord God Almighty, and I can do anything. I'm going to build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail, he says somewhere else. So this is the message that he wanted them to bring over. And so here in this gospel message, we have Jesus' last final instructions that he gives us. And this final instructions here found in Matthew 28 is an amazing scripture. Churches base their mission on the scripture where Jesus said, and you know, you can't repeat this enough. He says, go, it's a command. He says, go into all the earth. So I'm going to paraphrase, it's behind me. Go into all the nations of the earth. And then that word go there is a command. It's a continual command. It's a command to keep on going. Keep on going. Don't just stop. You might have resistance now and again. You keep on going. You keep on preaching. You keep on taking that message out. People need to know. It's desperate times. People are dying. Keep on going. Keep on going. No matter what obstacle you have, I'm with you. Keep on going. And then he says, going, making disciples. And I think it might have been Tommy and I were talking about this. There's a difference between converts and disciples. And a lot of people want to make converts. We don't want to make converts. First of all, only God can make converts. What we want is to make disciples. We want to be that little link in this wonderful privilege we have of bringing forth this amazing message, this viral message that Jesus can actually change of life. We believe that Jesus can actually forgive sins, and that he actually did die on a cross, and he actually is coming back again very soon. And he wants us to take this out and to make disciples. Disciples are followers of Jesus who make followers. In other words, they're disciples who actually continue the process on. They pass the baton on. It's like we're going to have the Olympics soon, I think, in Brazil. They're talking about not having the Olympics now. It's crazy. But you ever see track and field? They have the baton. They're passing the baton on from one guy to the next guy to the next guy. And it's like that's what we want to do as a church. That's what the church should be doing. And then he says, so we want to do that. And that's the whole reason for our mission statement on the back of our church. Go, grow, give. We want to go, like Jesus says, go bring people to Jesus. That means make disciples. Then we want to grow them up. And this gets to our second part. He says, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them all that I have commanded you. In other words, all the scriptures of Torah and prophets, all that stuff, and all the 3 years I spent with you, all that stuff I taught you that we see in the New Testament epistles, I want you to teach them and pass it on. Keep on passing it on. Pass it on. And that's what we're trying to do here at Oasis. Pass it on. If you hold in a church and you see a church and they just stay a church in one location and they're just there and they're just existing and they're not passing it on to the next generation, then that's going to die, right? You're going to go the way of the Shakers that just had one little church, boom, and that was it. We want to keep passing it on all over the world. And that's what we're doing. And Jesus says, and we're going to be centering in on baptizing today. Because Jesus says, as a command, part of this command, he says, go make disciples and then baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So we're coming up to our baptismal celebration on July 31st. Yeah. Yeah, just clap for that. That's something to clap about. So we're going to bring together those that want to be baptized, and it's going to be on July 31st at around 2 o'clock. We're going to have it right back there, and we're going to have a dunk tank, all right? And Dave... No, it's we're going to fill something up. The fire department's going to come and fill it up out there. We're going to have a great celebration. We call baptisms here at Oasis waves. So this is actually our five-year church. This is actually our seventh wave that we've had. So we're going to explain. You can clap for that. We're going to explain what waves are, what baptism is according to the scripture, what it means, and it's an exciting thing. And I'm so happy to be part of this church, you know, because I see what God has done over the years, and it just really blesses my heart to see what Jesus is alive in this place and what he's done. It's just, thank you for being part of this amazing thing. But yeah, it's our seventh wave, and in the scripture, there's a lot of confusion about baptism. I think every church has a different version of it, it seems, and so forth, but let's look at a biblical overview. You see baptism in the Bible, in the New Testament, three times. John the Baptist baptized. Remember, Jesus got baptized from John the Baptist. A little dove came down and said, this is my beloved son, listen to him. And John the Baptist, there should be three things there. John the Baptist, it was a baptism of repentance. They prepared the Jewish nation for the coming Messiah. And then see something called Holy Spirit baptism that we're going to talk about in a second. Baptism in the Holy Spirit. What does that mean? What happens there? And then you see also water baptism, where you see in the New Testament there was water baptism, where you see people getting baptized through water. Let's look at the meaning of baptism. Meaning of baptism in this word up here, baptizo, and it's a really awesome word. It's a really amazing word. And I'm going to do a little Greek word picture with you guys just to get the whole meaning of this behind. I think it's really important. I stole these pickles from Felicia's house yesterday. She had a party for her son, and I took this. So how many of you guys like cucumbers? Anybody? A couple of little cucumbers? I love cucumbers, and I love cucumbers. I don't know. I want some salt on my cucumber, a little bit of salt, and some balsamic vinegar. Nothing better than salt with balsamic vinegar. I can eat these all day, and they're good for you. They're very good. So this is a true story, and if you're wondering about the meaning of baptizo, where that's the root of the word that's used in Jesus' statement in Matthew 28, baptizing them. That's a participle, but the word baptizo is a verb. And what it comes from, the first extra-biblical understanding that we have in outside of the Bible is this guy named Nicander. It was 200 B.C., Nicander. You can look it up yourself. He was a poet and a doctor, but he also loved cucumbers. So he also decided to write a recipe. And he found out that if you dip a cucumber, in other words, immerse a cucumber in a vinegar element. It could be garlic in there. I love dill pickles. Who likes the dill pickles? The little dill pickles. I could go, right now, you know what I'm thinking of, guys? I'm thinking of a Jewish rye bread with a roast beef, Russian dressing, and maybe like a little bit of the pickles on top. I love pickles in there. That's called the Sloppy Joe where I come from. I love those. After the service, we're going to go, and Pastor Tommy's going to treat us. We'll go out. But what do you notice? What happens here is when you put a cucumber in here and you take it out, you bring it out, it no longer it becomes a cucumber. It becomes a pickle. It becomes something totally different. And the word picture that's used in the scripture is exactly that. When we're baptized, when God the Father, and when you come to the point in your life, so this is, another word, something totally different than what it was before. It's a new creation in a sense. It's a different. There's different elements to it. It's not the same. It's different. What happens here in spiritual baptism, when the Holy Spirit baptizes you, at the point, you see that scripture right there in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. There they are, right up there, pickles. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, that should be up on the screen. It says here, it says that by one Spirit, the Holy Spirit, we have all been baptized into one body. That body is ecclesia. That's the church. That's the universal church. So what God is doing is, and then he says this, whether you're Greek or Jew or slave or free, we were all made to drink from one Spirit. It's something totally outside the realm of man. Man cannot do. This is a supernatural work of God himself, and it takes place. Baptism in the Holy Spirit takes place immediately at the moment where you get down on your knees and you say, Jesus, I want you in my life. I'm tired of this old life. I'm tired of my sin. I'm living in this shame. I don't want to be a cucumber anymore. You know, I don't want that. I want you to take my life and make me over. I want you to change all the stuff in my life, all those painful things I've gone through, all the sinful mistakes I made. I'm sorry, Lord. Please forgive me. Give me a new life, a new beginning. And that's exactly what happens at the point that you come in. If you're a Christian today, there had to be a point in your life where you surrendered to Jesus Christ. You said, Jesus, I want you to take over my life. I'm tired of ruining my life. I can't do it on my own. I know I can't do it on my own. I need your forgiveness, your grace, your mercy. Don't we have an amazing God? So he promises, okay, you come to me at that point, the Holy Spirit, the instant, it's a mystery, the instant you come to Jesus, he says, those who come to me, I will never drive away. That instant, the Holy Spirit comes into you to reside in you. You are baptized in him. You are immersed in God's Spirit, and you become a child of God. It says in Corinthians, 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. He's brand new. The old has passed away. The new has come. He's something totally different now. Thank God. You're not the person you used to be. Thank God. You've been forgiven. Thank God. You're not perfect, right? No, but you will be in the future. Thank God. You're going to go through life, and he's going to be with you forever. He promises to be with you. And so that's the amazing, wonderful operation of the Holy Spirit. That's what it means to be born again. That's what it means to have a new life in Christ. So that moment, that precious, supernatural moment, the Holy Spirit comes and resides in you. Boom, God, you become his child. I remember that day myself, that first day. I remember Mom and Dad came home, and I had prayed on a TV set all by myself, alone. Most of us maybe were alone when that happened. We were alone between it's us and God moment, right? And I remember that day, and I said, Dad, Mom, guess what? They said, what? I said, I became a Christian today. And they didn't understand. I said, of course you're a Christian. You're Catholic. I said, no, you don't understand. Jesus, I asked Jesus in my life, and it's totally different now. It is totally different. The Holy Spirit does amazing things in the life. The moment you become a Christian, whether you feel it or not, you may not, the Holy Spirit baptizes you. He gives you gifts of the Holy Spirit. Now, here's where the tension comes from and the confusion. Some churches teach that you're baptized in the Holy Spirit many times over. Some churches teach that you're baptized after conversion. That's simply not in the scripture. But you are filled with the Holy Spirit many, 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 many times as you yield to God, as you seek him. God will work in your heart amazing things, and the Holy Spirit could give you certain manifestations of gifts. Here at Oasis, we believe all the gifts of the Spirit are available. They're all there, gifts of preaching, of teaching, of prophecy, of healing, gifts of tongues, gifts of interpretations of tongues. There's a whole list that we will go over at another time, but they're there, and God uses those to build his church together. And as we yield to him, we've seen people in our church come up with gifts that they didn't have the year before. Like God has given them gifts of certain things that we thank God for, that the Holy Spirit, all he does it. It's the Holy Spirit who saves. Remember we said a few weeks ago, We're involved in this amazing process to share Jesus with others. We bring them to Jesus. Like we said, you have to come check Jesus out. He's amazing. He loves you so much. He can change your life. But who does the actual saving? The Holy Spirit, Jesus, right? The Holy Spirit does the actual saving. God himself does it through this operation, and it's a mystery. And the Spirit, Jesus said, the Spirit goes wherever he wills, right? When Nicodemus said, hi, how did he be born? Well, the Spirit, the wind blows wherever. So it's an amazing thing. And this is what's going on internally. So if you go to the next scripture, you see that we identify with Jesus through baptism, through water baptism. Jesus says this. Paul says this. He says, don't you know, guys, that when you've been baptized, and now he says, you've been baptized into his death. That is, you've been baptized into Jesus' death. You're so identifying with Jesus Christ. You're saying to the world, you're saying, I'm going there with Jesus. It says here, symbolically here, you've been buried with him by faith. And that faith moment that you had with Jesus. And it says here that you've also been, just as Christ has been raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, so we too may walk in the newness of life. So what's going on here is that by faith, this amazing thing is going on, this amazing principle is that when we get united with Jesus by faith, we're saying to him, we're going with you on that cross, Jesus. We're not ashamed of you, Lord Jesus. We're going to go wherever you go, Lord, even to that cross. We're going to walk with you and be there with you. We're going to follow you. We're going to identify with you. There's another scripture in, I think it's Galatians, the next scripture should be Galatians, I believe, Galatians 3:27. Check this out. It says, all who have been united with Christ, and there's that word baptism, have put on Christ, kind of like a garment, kind of like wearing something you've been walking around with, and you put it on, you're wearing that proudly. And, you know, there was a time in my life where I didn't identify with Jesus Christ at all. I didn't identify with him. I wasn't united with him anyway. I remember sitting in a car right here in Piscataway at the Quick Check, right here across from Rossi's Funeral Parlor. And I was downing some beers with my friends. We were going cruising for chicks. Never got any chicks. That's not funny. But we were out there, and for one of the guys, we were all Catholic. One of the guys had a picture of Jesus, the one with the eyes that follows you around wherever you go, you know. And he brought it out, and we were just looking at it and cracking up. Look, Jesus. And I remember using his name in vain, Jesus Christ. And I said it in a way like, just to be, I don't know why I did it. And then we start talking about Jesus. I start talking about, well, wait a minute. And here we are half drunk. You know, God can reach drunks at the lowest point. That's an amazing thing. Sometimes the most spiritual place is in a bar. I'm not telling you to go to a bar, but I'm telling you that God, his grace is not far from anybody. His grace could reach his grace could reach into hell. And I remember thinking, all of a sudden we were talking, and I said, wait a minute. We stopped laughing. And said, what did Jesus ever do that we all curse him like this? And that was the beginning of the Holy Spirit drawing us, lovingly drawing us. You might not be a Christian today. The Holy Spirit may be speaking to you with that gentle voice, saying, yeah, this is true. What's happening in my life? That's how the Holy Spirit draws. But the amazing thing is I didn't identify with him. But that day I came in, Jesus came into my heart. That day I believed in him. A miracle occurs supernaturally by the power of the baptism of the Holy Spirit, where now I identify with him. Then I remember going to church. Anytime I heard Jesus, I would go around like I wanted to hear more about Jesus, not in a bad way, but in a great way. And then I had to find a church that talked about Jesus because I couldn't handle going to a church that didn't talk about Jesus. I never heard about Jesus. I wanted to know more about Jesus, 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 because he's all that mattered to me then. He was my everything. He took me out of this pit. You know what happens when you're a Christian? If you could just take it in, he takes you out of this literal hellhole of sin and junk in your life, and he transfers you, just like that cucumber, he transfers you out of all that mess into something wonderful, into his family that we're talking about that's becoming viral all over the world. He takes you, you become a child of God, and now you're excited to be part of this amazing family of God. And I got so excited to be part of this. I identified with Jesus at that point in my life, and I wasn't ashamed of Jesus anymore. I used to be ashamed of hearing about anything about God and this. Oh, stop talking. I believe in God. Leave me alone. You ever hear people like that? Just leave me alone. I believe in God. Just shut up. I don't want to hear about God. I believe in God. But when you know Jesus, you're excited about it. You want to talk about it. You want to honor Jesus. You're not ashamed of Jesus. Like Paul says in Romans 1:16, I'm not ashamed of the gospel because I know that's the power to save. He's your only hope today, Jesus. He's our only hope. And until you get to the point where you realize nothing else matters, you know, he's all that matters. He's our only hope in this world. He's the only hope anywhere. But what's going on here in the scripture is in baptism. Now we're switching over to physical water baptism. You are now making a public statement that you're identifying with Jesus. You're putting on Jesus publicly. You're proclaiming to the world, I'm going there with Jesus. I'm not ashamed of Jesus. He's with me. He's been with me. I'm not embarrassed of him. I'm going. I'm going to make a public statement that Jesus is my Lord and Savior. And that's exactly what baptism is. It's a public statement of what Jesus has done for you already. Baptism is an outward expression. It's an outward expression of an already existing eternal thing that's happened in your life. In other words, when the Holy Spirit came into your life, you became a believer, you became a child of God Almighty. And now you're making a public statement of that, saying, yes, I affirm that in Jesus' name. And so this is an amazing thing. And, you know, you see this these stickers all the time now, and it's the election time season, and you see this all the time. You see people walking around, especially on campus at Rutgers University. I see these I'm with her buttons. I think I have one up there. You should have a slide there. I'm with her. Well, who's her? Well, that's Hillary, of course. That's Hillary. And then Bernie made one, I'm with him. Right? And what they're saying is, they're actually saying the same thing I'm trying to say is, hey, I'm not embarrassed of Hillary. I'm not embarrassed of Bernie. Or Trump. I have a Trump one up. I didn't put it on there, but I have him up there. I'm not embarrassed of them because I'm following these guys. I'm with them. Whatever they stand for, that's what I stand for. I'm going with them all the way, and I'm even going to campaign for them. Isn't that a shame that we have people in this society, and maybe some of us right here, that can go out and wear a stupid button for some politician that can never save you, that can never help you. No one can make America great again but Jesus. It doesn't matter who you are. You can clap for that. I mean, it's just a fact, right? Yet, some of us are embarrassed of Jesus, not you guys. Some of us, though, you know, we will go places where we want to hide a little bit that we're with Jesus. We don't want to go there with them because of Jesus. We're kind of like, you know, no, I don't want to bring that up. Religion is too much. People don't want to hear that. People want to hear that. That's the only hope in the world. Jesus is the only hope in the world. So we're going with Jesus. We're being labeled with Jesus. When you're baptized, you're being labeled with him. I don't care if they take me to kill me. I'm going there with you, Jesus, because you went there with me. When I was down and out, you went there with me. You bled on that cross for me. As the blood flowed down that cross, even the pagan Roman centurion said, surely this was the Son of God. And that's how they turned the whole world upside down, because they knew the power of God changes lives, and they saw it all over the place. So when you're a Christian, you should stand up for Jesus. And one of the ways of standing up for Jesus is sharing your faith story with your friends, like we talked about last week. Remember, we had you guys make a list of your friends, neighbors, relatives, associates. Start there and just pray for these people. They need Jesus. You're making a public statement there. Baptism is a statement there. So this amazing connection between Holy Spirit baptism and water physical baptism is mysterious to some, and there's confusion in the church. Some people actually teach if you're not baptized, and we would call this a heresy, and if you're not baptized by water, you're not even saved. And that's just not in the Bible. But the reason where they get that from is that in Acts, very often in the early church, when people became believers in Jesus, very often they almost automatically got baptized at the same moment. For example, when Peter, he wasn't ashamed of Jesus. He wasn't afraid to stand up. He was at one time. But when the Holy Spirit came into him, boom, he gets up there. Remember, they had the upper room experience. And then they get out there. Hey, this Christ whom you crucified is now Lord and King. He wasn't embarrassed and ashamed that time. He used to be afraid of a little slave girl. Now he's proclaiming the message. Hey, do what you want with me, because I'm going with Jesus. It doesn't matter what you do to me, because I'm going with Jesus. Go on, kill me. And they said, what should we do? And he says, repent and be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. So you become a Christian through repentance and faith in Jesus, and then you should be baptized. It's a post-conversion experience, but in the early church, it happened almost immediately. So you can see where that happens. But it's actually a time, a public expression. And many people, when they got baptized, they even changed their names to show the difference, to show, hey, I was Saul, but now I'm Paul. Hey, I was like this. I was the town drunk, but now I'm the town preacher, you know? And I'm a big sinner myself, but I mean, people in town, I grew up in this town, and people still can't believe, you're a pastor? You know, because, you know, I have a reputation. For better, but God uses those reputations. Don't be embarrassed of that. God uses your past. God uses your past. Thank you. That's pretty cool. So the idea here, just to bring home the expression, is this. So water baptism, what happened to you internally, you're experiencing by faith through water baptism. You're saying, yes, this happened to me internally. This happened in my life. I thank God for that. I want to make a public explanation because somehow, Jesus commands it, by the way. It's a command. But somehow, when you make that public stand that way, your faith is increased. You ever notice that when you take that stand and you say, I'm for you, Jesus, and you're in for other people, somehow, once you break that barrier of like embarrassment or that, somehow, all of a sudden you get real bold, you know, and sometimes you can get in moods of, shyness. I remember myself, I was a Christian, and just a little big example, I'm going to close this down, and literally, I promise you, 5 minutes. I'm going to go over 5 minutes. I told Emily, who didn't Emily do great, I love the harmonies with these guys were beautiful harmonies, but I told her, write down 30 minutes to tell me to shut up. Because, you know, someone told me if you can't save a soul in 30 minutes, it's not going to happen. No, he said, no soul saved past the hour. God saves the soul, though, right? But I remember I was driving and praising 99.1, praising Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Sometimes I do it with no hands on the wheel. Look, God. God has me. Yeah, maybe. So I see a dude hitchhiking. I'm going to pick this guy up. I'm going to share about Jesus to this guy. Yeah, I'm excited. I'm all filled with the Holy Spirit. Something happens. I don't know what happens. You know, you get like embarrassed, shy, whatever. You know, the flesh comes in. And I said, he had long hair, the tats going on. I said, he's too cool for Jesus, it seems. I don't know. I mean, in your heart, you think stupid things. So I immediately, before picking him up, switched it from 99.1 to some heavy metal station. I'm trying to identify with the guy. You know, and then I started talking to him, and I start realizing, man, I just wimped out. I wasn't putting on Jesus, you know? I wasn't doing that. I was, like, trying to, like, I don't know what I was trying to do. And it turns out I didn't say anything about Jesus for 5 minutes. And then I said, wait a minute, I got to tell you something. I'm a Christian, and I got to tell you about Jesus, man. I don't know why I actually changed the station from my Christian station to this. And he says, he was a Christian. He says, man, why'd you do that, man? You're supposed to be bold in the gospel. You're supposed to be bold for Jesus. And he gave me a tract. I'll never forget that, you know. I felt stupid. But God wants you out there, man. Go out to your friends, your neighbors. We're going to pray. We're going to pray over the next weeks for our friends. Let's trust God for miracles in this place, okay? Last little thing, so by way of example of my son, I can embarrass him, and he's not here today. So what happens here, just to bring home the idea of of internal and then external proclamation. So my son Jesse, we were down Long Beach Island. There's a picture of me and my kids at Long Beach Island 2 years ago. This made the dopey look. I look like, they say I looked Amish. They told me I looked Amish with that hat. And they said, so what happened, Jesse says, I'm going to propose to Brooke. So that's my daughter-in-law, Brookie, and she comes here, and that's my son, Jesse. And so they went, Jesse took her to a nice private place on LBI to a lighthouse. There should be a picture of the lighthouse there. And there they are. And he gives her a yellow rose, and he gets down on his knee and says, I want to commit my life to you. I want you to be my wife. Will you be my wife? Of course, he was expecting her to say yes. And then he gave her the rock, as you see. All girls like rocks, don't they? I don't get it, but they're like, oh, look at the rock, it's so wonderful. But anyway, they went there, they were together, they were alone there, and they were committed to each other. It was a very private moment, a very special moment. That moment of salvation in your life with Jesus is a very personal moment. It's just you and God. We can't save, no one can, only God can save you. It's you and Jesus, you and Jesus. That moment you got down and you said, Jesus, I repent, I just give you my life, I can't take it anymore, please forgive me, please come into my heart and life. The Holy Spirit comes into your life at that time. Now, I want to fast forward to the wedding. 2 years later, they get home, they're going, Pastor Vince, that's Pastor Vince, they get home and they call Pastor Vince, we want you to marry us. So, of course, he married them, that's Pastor Vince right there. And now they're taking a public stand. Now they're letting the whole world know before God and all the people and so forth. And for the first time in their lives, they're able to say, I'm proudly introducing you, dun 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 dun, Mr. and Mrs. Jesse Butler. Yay, everybody claps, so forth. Do you see where I'm going with the baptism thing? It's like baptism is a public celebration. But you already made that commitment maybe back then. But baptism is a public celebration of what Jesus has already done. And now on that day, they proclaim it loudly that they're excited. And now the whole world knows. And they're not ashamed. They're not ashamed. She's not ashamed to wear that label, Mrs. Butler. You know, Mrs. Jesse Butler. She's not ashamed of that. In the same way, that's what God calls us to do. Let's bow our heads.